You're listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia.
Continue in the series that we started last week when we started the series called Tables, or The Table. And it being the month of Thanksgiving, right? Somebody's going to sit around a table here in a few days and eat some turkey. Some of y'all don't sound happy about that. Okay. I'll take your portion, okay? It's kind of the series is about really we're kind of traveling through Genesis all the way through the New Testament to see the different places that we can see God's table. The table of provision, the table of protection, tables that we find where God provides for us and what that means and what insight we can find from that. And so Pastor Trent is actually going to help on this series during this month, and I'm looking forward to that. But this morning we're going to go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 16 is where we're heading. And so you can go ahead and start turning there. We talked last week when we started out of the book of Genesis, and we started with the Garden of Eden, or the Garden in Eden is what actually how it says, the Garden in Eden. And we looked at how God is a generous host and that he provides for us. And so we see his goodness as it starts from creation, right? That he's not starting creation with anxiety, but what he starts is permission, and he starts with a gift for us. And so we're going to continue in this story today, like I said, in the book of Exodus chapter 16. Now, before we get there, there was a story that I was reading about. There is a couple that had been married for about 22 years. They both had careers. They were working quite a bit. They had three kids. They had all these different activities that they had to do, right? The things, all the schedules that they're trying to keep up with. And life just kind of gets in the way. And they had stopped communicating. They had really stopped talking. And this couple was on the verge of divorce. And so they decided, hey, we're going to go see a counselor. They went to see the counselor. The counselor is listening to their story. And the counselor says, listen, he says, I want you to go home. He says, I want you to do just one thing. He said, I want you to go home, and I want you to eat a meal together three times a week. He said, and when you eat this meal together, I don't want you to have your phones out. I want you to put your phones away. I don't want you to have the TV on. I want you to just eat this meal together and talk. And the couple kind of got mad. They got upset, and they're like, listen, we didn't come here for a meal plan. We came for you to fix our marriage, right? And the counselor said, I understand. He's like, but if we'll just try this, right? And so the couple, they left, and they did. They tried it. They came back 6 months later to see the counselor again, but it wasn't for another session. It was actually to say thank you, because what they realized was when they started eating together and they started sharing this time together, they found that they began to reconnect. They found that just this one small change precipitated a change in a lot of their rhythms. So starting this new rhythm help them start a lot more rhythms. And this is what the lady said to the counselor. She says, we're not perfect, but we're talking again, and we're laughing. And we're remembering why we got married in the first place. And they were shocked. They thought they needed a miracle, and what it turned out that they needed was a rhythm, right? And what we're going to find today and where we're heading is this, is that rhythm helps us remember. It helps us remember who we are. It helps us to remember who we love, and it also helps us to remember what really matters. So that's where we're headed today, and if you'll go with me to the book of Exodus, let's go ahead and jump into this story. Now, I'm going to read down to verse, I'm going to start in verse 1, I'm going to read down to verse 32, but I'm going to take this in chunks and just kind of skip through this chapter just a little bit. And so we're going to start here in verse 1, I'm going to read down to verse 5. And they set out from Elim. Who is they? They are the Israelites. Context of this is they've just come out of slavery in Egypt. And so they're on their journey. They're on the road out of Egypt. And this is where we kind of pick up the story. And they set out from Elim. And all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out to this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Right? Anybody, have you ever encountered somebody who was just ungrateful? Maybe they live in your house, okay? And it's like, man, wow, God has just brought about this amazing deliverance, these great miracles that they saw all the way through the plagues of Egypt, and then God brought them through the Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh in the Red Sea so that they could get away, right? And now they're grumbling. But God, He's very gracious. Remember where we started last week, because God is a generous host and God is good. We just sang about that. Lord, you are good. This is more than a song. This is the reality, and this is the real part of this in verse 4. "Then the Lord God said to Moses, 'Behold, I'm about to rain down,'" and if it was me, I would have said, "I'd about to rain down fire and brimstone," but that's not what it says here. It says, "Behold, I'm about to rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gathered daily." So I want you to notice something here. What's happening, and if we start with this premise that rhythm helps us remember, what is God really doing here? And I think the first thing that we see here is that rhythm forms the heart, okay? Rhythm forms the heart. And that's what God's really doing. He's beginning to form their heart and reform their heart. I already told you that they're on the road out of Egypt. They've been slaves for 400 years, okay? And so they've really kind of forgotten who they were. They've been under this oppressive reign of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had just one mindset, and the pattern that they followed with Pharaoh was this: produce more, prove more, perform more. You get that? Anybody say, that sounds familiar? Produce more, prove yourself, right, or perform. You know, and so that's how the pattern that they lived over and over, day by day, for Pharaoh. You got to produce more. You've got to perform to get our love or our attention, right? You've got to prove yourself. And what happened was this, is that Israel picked up some bad habits during this 400 years. They picked up bad habits, and we're starting to see some of that as they're grumbling and complaining. But God uses this moment not to get angry and get mad, but he uses this moment to retrain their instincts. He uses this moment to begin to reform their hearts. And what we find is this, is now God says, just gather what you need, and tomorrow I'll do it again, right? What kind of trust does that require, right? Because if you're in the wilderness, usually if you're in the wilderness, there's not like bread just laying around, okay? And so the temptation is this, is to get more than what you need, because I don't know if I'll see this again. But God's saying, hey, gather what you need. I'm going to show up on a daily basis, okay? And I'll do this again. And so what they're having to learn is this, is that rhythm is helping them to know who God is. There's a story I heard of a guy who would walk out on his porch every morning after he would get his cup of coffee, and he would walk out on his porch and he would look at the day that God had made, and he would walk out there and he would say, "God, you did it again," right? In a sense, like, wow, he showed up again. He did it again. And that's the reality that Israel is living in this story. They're picking up on this, hey, God's going to do this again. So let's continue reading. Let's skip down to verse 16. "And this is what the Lord God commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as you can eat. you shall take an omer. Now, what's an omer? An omer sounds like a homer, and it's not a homer. An omer is like a 2 liters worth of measurement, okay? You shall take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so, and they gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. How does that work? That's God math right there, okay? Each of them gathered as much as they could eat. And so this is amazing. God's showing up on a daily basis in a miraculous way that is shaping and training them to trust him. He's showing up in a way that's showing them, listen, this is a new pattern than what you've been used to living, right? It's a new pattern of being able to say, be able to walk out in the morning and say, oh God, you did it again, right? See, as adults, we get bored with repetition, right? I need to change it up, right? We've ate at this restaurant, 100 times. The staff gets mad at me because anytime that we go to eat, right, they say, oh, we know that Pastor Ryan doesn't want any Mexican food. Well, it's only because I ate it for like the first 10 years that I lived here every day, right? And so it's like repetition. Sometimes we get bored with that. But you know who doesn't get bored with that? Kids don't get bored with that. And this is what I've discovered. My kids, we have my brother-in-law. His name is Brad, and so we call him Uncle Brad. I don't call him Uncle Brad. I just call him Brad. But my kids, they call him Yubi, right? Yubi, Uncle Brad, right? And when they were little, Brad would put them in a blanket. He would take my boys and he would put them in a blanket, and he would pick them up and kind of put them over his shoulder like this, and he would go, I'm taking out the trash. I'm taking out the trash. And they would just giggle and cackle, you know what? And he would put them down, and they said, do it again, Yubi. Do it again, Yubi, right? And I'm just like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But they loved it. They loved having him do this. They loved seeing him do that, him just taking time. And so kids, they love that. You'll do it again. Maybe you've heard that. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Mommy, right? You've heard it over and over. And so kids understand, you know what? This repetition is not a bad thing, right? It becomes a rhythm. And what God is trying to show his people is that there's a rhythm of trust and there's a rhythm of formation that God is working in them. And so what manna is, and manna, if you're looking for the Hebrew translation, what does the word manna mean in Hebrew? It means, what is it? I'm not lying. That's what it means. That's what manna means. It means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. And so manna is this. Manna is not about a handout. It's not about God just giving them a handout. It's about God, he's creating a habit. And that's what it is. It's not a handout. God is creating a habit in Israel. So every morning they gathered. Every evening they stopped. Every week they rested. And every act said the same thing over and over and over and over. And what did it say? He did it again. He did it again. Man, we woke up this morning and look at this. God did it again. And so, you know, there were boundaries on what God said. If you read the scripture, he said, listen, I don't want you to get so much, right? I don't want you to try to go overboard, because that's the tendency that we have. We have the tendency to get greedy, right? Oh, I don't know if it's going to be there. Remember that whole talk last week about scarcity? That when we live with a scarcity mindset, we feel like we have to get greedy and we have to hoard things, right? But when we're trusting God, God says, hey, I have a limitless supply, right? But I want you to live in a way that sets boundaries. And so there's limits that God sets on them. And sometimes in our culture will say, hey, listen, freedom is about having no limits. That's what our culture says. It says if you really want to have true freedom, you won't have any limits. That's not how God defines freedom. Actually, how God defines freedom is this, is when you trust me with the limitations that I place on you, what you'll find is you'll have amazing freedom inside that relationship. And this is what we find. When we think of freedom as no limits, what we actually find in God is this. We find that peace lives inside a rhythm of trust. That's what happens. We'll find peace. We'll find peace because we're living inside a rhythm of trust every day. When we're waking up, it's like, God, you did it again. God, you showed up one more time. God, I can't believe it, man. This is amazing. God, you were here one more time. God, you've done it again. And it allows us to begin to trust God in the rhythms that we operate in. Because sometimes we operate in bad rhythms. Bad habits. Anybody? Anybody got a bad habit? Okay, right? That's where Israel was at. They had lived 400 years with bad habits. They had lived for 400 years with bad patterns. They had lived for this entire time, and they had been surrounded by the gods of Egypt and the ways and the culture of Egypt. And so that's what they were filled with. And so God is reforming their heart and reshaping it. And how does he do that? He does it one day at a time. One day at a time. Well, God, I need a miracle. The miracle is I'm going to show up every day, and I'm going to give you what you need for that day, right? That's the miracle. It reminds me of a prayer that gets prayed. Give us this day our daily bread. Where do you think that came from? What do you think Jesus was calling back from, right? He's calling back from, this is where God showed up. And when I'm wanting you to pray, maybe you're praying the Lord's Prayer daily. This is that rhythm of saying, hey, God, you're the God that shows up every day. You're the God that has a miracle. Every morning when we wake up, great is your faithfulness. So we find peace lives inside a rhythm of trust. Let's go ahead and let's go on to Exodus chapter 16, verse 22. Let's skip to there. And we find this. On the sixth day, he gathered twice as much bread and two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, I am reading the right spot. I just had a brain moment. Tomorrow is the day of solemn rest and a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. Now, I want you to see this. What did God say? He said, every day you're only supposed to get so much for that one day until you come to the sixth day. On the sixth day, that's going to be different because I'm going to let you gather enough for 2 days. Because on that seventh day, I don't want you gathering. I don't want you going out. I don't want you working on that day. I want you to rest. Anybody, does that sound good? Yeah. Rest sounds good, right? Because in our culture, we're so busy. Our homes are filled with motion. Our homes are filled with so much. The only thing we don't have is rest. When you start looking at everything that we have, we don't have rest. And so what we begin to see is this, is that rhythm not only forms the heart, right? That's what we saw when we started this conversation. Rhythm forms the heart. Rhythm also shapes the home, right? He's teaching them something. He's not just shaping them individually. He's shaping them as a household. And so this is what this looks like. God is moving them from being slaves to being what? Sons. He's moving them from being slaves to being sons and daughters. He's moving them to being what that looks like, to being part of the family. And so what I understand is this, that slaves never rest, but sons and daughters do, right? A slave never rests because they're always having to work for whoever that is that is over them. But sons and daughters, they get a chance to rest. And this is what God is trying to teach them. Hey, you're no longer in Egypt. You don't belong to Pharaoh. You belong to me. You are my sons and daughters. And this is what it looks like to live a life with Yahweh. It looks like rest. And so what do we see God teaching them here? What do we see God teaching them? What do we see is this, is that rhythm, the rhythm of rest teaches us our worth. The rhythm of rest teaches us our worth. Our culture says you have to produce or else you're nothing to me, right? You have to prove yourself, to be something to me, right? You have to perform to get my love or to get my attention or to get my affection. That's what our culture says. That is a Pharaoh mindset. That's not what God is trying to get them to be formed by. You are not what you produce. That's Egypt. You are who you belong to. That's Yahweh. That's the difference. And he says, this is what it looks like to be sons and daughters. This is what a rhythm of rest looks like. You learn how much worth you have to me. And I love you so much that I want you to take a day where you rest, you recharge. You need that, right? But why does he say this? Because Our bodies are, we need that rhythm of rest. It's not just the rhythm that we live by, it's how we're actually put together biologically. And you and I understand that. If you will take your hands like this and put them on your chest like this, you're going to feel your heartbeat. And if you don't, please let one of our nurses know. We have a machine that'll start that up, okay? Our heartbeats are, this is rhythm, right? Our sleep cycles, there's rhythm there. Our brain waves, there's rhythm there, right? All these things that we see, we're created not to just live in rhythm, we're created with a rhythm. And that's important. That's important for us to understand this, because God is teaching us something about our worth. There's a rhythm to how you need to live. There's a rhythm with how you're put together. And so rhythm teaches us our worth. The next thing that we find is this, is that rhythm also teaches us to worship. I'm going to ask the band to come up and play at this time. Rhythm, it teaches us our worth, but it also teaches us how to worship. That rhythm of rest, that rhythm to say, hey, there's a time to come through and acknowledge who God is, right? What is worship? Worship is rhythm that remembers. That's what worship is. When we come together, it's not just to sing songs and do something religious. When we sing these songs, it's to help us remember who you are and who God is. That's what worship is about. It's not just so that we can do something religious. We sing our theology so we don't forget our God. We sing theology so we don't forget who God is. And we don't forget who God has made us to be. And that's why you can look at the Psalms and you can see in Psalm 95:1, it says, oh, come and let us sing to the Lord and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Right? That's what he says. He says, I want you to do this. So I want us to do that today too. I want you to stand with me this morning. I would ask you this. What is the rhythm that's been broken in your life? Where do you find those broken rhythms? Is it in the home? Is it in a relationship? Where are those broken rhythms that you look and you say, man, I need to start a new rhythm. I need to start a new repetition. Maybe it's prayer. Every morning that I get up, I say the same prayer over and over. It's the same words every morning. You say, you don't get tired of that? Nah, because when I think about who God is and what God does, it just reminds me every day that I start, man, thank you, God, so much, because I didn't have to wake up this morning, but I did. I didn't have to wake up this morning, but you allowed it to happen. So I thank you for that. So every morning that I get up, there's a rhythm to my life. Now, where's that rhythm broken for you? What does that need to look like for you? When's the last time, guys, that you really rested? Pastor, you don't understand, I got so much to do. Actually, what I find is this, I can't do anything well unless I take time to do what God has asked me to do and he's built me to be, right? If I do that, I find I'm much more productive, much more in tune. I'm probably a better father. I hope I'm a better husband. I don't know. Don't answer that. These are the things that as God has created us, he says, this is the rhythm I want you to live in. I want you to live with. This is how I want you to worship. So I want us to worship.
You've been listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia. For more information regarding New Life, please visit our website at newliferh.com.